And a message to the deep state, lawyer up, Department of Justice, lawyer up, judicial judges, lawyer up, political hacks, lawyer up, media conspirators, lawyer up. That's right, lawyer up, folks, because we're coming for you. I'm telling you, this is going to be fun to watch. And it's going to happen because we're going to propel it into motion. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for Monday, November 25, 2024. The countdown to Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. This is Monday. You can do the math. Hopefully everyone's going to have just a great Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. Even if you are a blue person, you know what I mean? You have a lot to be thankful for. Before we get started, I want to mention to you about thehealthyfat.com/Hagman. I want to talk to you about this real quick. Look, don't eat breakfast until you learn about caloric bypass. Just don't. Just don't do it. Your breakfast is setting you up for the entire day to either gain weight or lose it. I mean, the first meal that you eat in the day, okay, that's setting you up. The term breakfast is, of course, literally means to break fast. And, about 4 hours after you eat dinner, your body switches from the nutrients we get from food to the stored glycogen that we have in our bodies. I didn't know that until I got into this. Once glycogen stores are depleted, about 8 to 12 hours after fasting, the body shifts to burning fat for energy. Now, fatty acids are released from fat stores where they are converted into ketone bodies through a process called ketogenesis. You've heard Austin and Ted Brewer talk about this. This is when you eat breakfast in the morning, the body starts the cycle again. The cycle once more. This is where the caloric bypass comes into play. No, it's not an operation. It's an operation to the extent that you're doing this. Dr. Gundry, a heart surgeon in California, learned that if you break your nightly fast with something called MCTs or medium chain triglycerides, you can actually keep burning fat throughout the day or use it for energy. But there are specific types of foods that contain these MCTs. Using this breakfast breakthrough, he was able to lose 70 pounds just through diet, and he did this through his and in his 60s. You can find out all about it, his exact method, by going to thehealthyfat.com/Hagman. That's thehealthyfat.com/Hagman. Just click the first link in the description box below. It's important to remember that everybody's body processes fat differently. Mine does, away from yours, away from your neighbors. I mean, it all depends on your unique metabolic type, which is why in the video he released for you, the special viewers of this program, he talks all about it. It's really, seriously, it's quite fascinating. And it just may change the way you think about health. Go to thehealthyfat.com/Hagman or click on the link in the description box below. And I want to thank them for what they do. All right. With me, of course, Randy Taylor. Yeah, a fixture right here at Hagman PI, the Hagman Report. I want to play this before Randy comes on. This is something that I think people are starting to realize. And Randy Taylor can comment on this when he comes on. Clayton Morris and Tucker Carlson had a discussion. In fact, I think Carlson was on Morris's show or vice versa. And they were talking about who is running the White House right now. Right now, at this moment, who's running the White House? Is it Biden? No. Jill, maybe. Along with Hunter and whatever, Valerie Jarrett. Obama, possibly. But he's got a better answer. How many people saw this? I'll tell you what, it's worth the watch. It's 3:30, which is longer than, you know, we like to play, but it's well worth it. Here it is. This is cut one. And by the way, I gave you the link to the feed. If you scroll down, is there not a video? 3 minute, 32 second video? Oh my. And you know what? I thought I had it all together for today. I really did. 3:32 it should be, but it's okay. Yeah. No. Oh, is that the one okay, it's with Clayton Morris, Tucker Carlson? It's not. No. All right. You do actually more than I do. Here it is. We'll see if it's the right one. Well, I'll be surprised.
A million Ukrainians dead now, permanently maimed, an entire generation of young men wiped out, a country destroyed, and they're still trying to sell this thing. And then, of course, over the past few days, we've seen the madness that is unfolding in the White House, allowing long-range missiles to be used from Ukraine at NATO's direction. Make no mistake, anyone watching this knows that Ukrainians don't even know how to use these missiles. It's NATO that's doing it, of course, and attacking inside of Russia. And then with add on top of that, the Biden administration now has okayed anti-personnel mines to be used, something they've long said absolutely we won't use. These are basically a lot of like the same petal mines that are thrown into the ground in Donetsk and the Donbass region. And children go to the playgrounds and they find these little petal mines that look like leaves. They pick them up and their arms are blown off or they're killed. And the Biden administration was absolutely against this. This was their stance. And now suddenly, within the past week, all of this has changed. So who the hell is running the White House? I mean, you've got, again, I know you're humble about this, but you've got amazing sources there. Like, Biden is not, who is running the White House? Like, who is our de facto president? Is it Antony Blinken right now? Is it Jake Sullivan? Who is doing this?
Well, if you'd asked me yesterday morning, I would have said Tony Blinken, who has been running it since the beginning. But now I would say Satan, because anybody, I really think that you've got, you know, dark forces in charge. I mean, there's no justification for using anti-personnel mines in this conflict, which can't hope to be solved with anti-personnel mines resolved in any way. The only effect of that move is to kill innocents, period. That's it. That's the only effect. And they know that. And so they're doing it anyway, because killing is the point. So it's evil. I think we should say that. I don't think it's a matter of defending democracy. The president of Ukraine is not elected. He's a dictator. He literally passed his term and kept serving. He's a dictator. And that country's shut down a Christian denomination, put priests in jail. Like, how many more markers of dictatorship do you need to call it what it is, which is totalitarian? So everything about it is horrifying. I'm so glad that you mentioned what's happening in the UK and France. There's the complicity of Western European countries in this. Really, I hope books are written about it, but there's something about a dying empire, you know, collapsing demographically, totally pointless finance-based economy, no self-respect at all, nihilism rising. There's something about that mix, the final days of a dying civilization, that causes it to lash out in this kind of orgy of killing for its own sake. It's really the darkest thing I could. It's like you imagine Rome collapsing and, you know, the Vandals toppling buildings and, you know, having orgies in the streets and all stuff. Really, it's the end of an empire is more like a kind of suicide, a kind of murder suicide, where, you know, the formerly great power kills itself and then takes a lot of people out as it does. It's like more horrifying than I ever thought.
Randy Taylor, what are your thoughts on that?
It's a pretty good summary by Tucker Carlson. That's what we're witnessing. By the way, hello, everyone. 1 month till Christmas. Merry Christmas.
That's right. A month from today.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. We'll send some missiles your way. This is evil. And it's globalists behind it. They're lashing out. And you know what? We can't let these people off the hook. Now, we don't have Trump in the White House yet, but, you know, I mean, someone's going to have to step up to the plate here and step in and do something. Or we're going to get hit pretty damn hard. And I'm going to tell you what, most of the American people, the majority, don't want anything to do with this. And that's the sad part. Russia knows that. So that creates a problem for Mr. Putin, too. I would hate to be Mr. Putin. I don't know what I would do at this point. I just hope that Donald Trump and Putin are talking. The problem is you still have the West over here, the United States, posing as helping Ukraine, you know, in a proxy war. But it's the United States that are firing the missiles. Listen, the Ukrainians aren't up to this. This is not... I'm not saying they're stupid people, but these aren't their weapons. They don't know anything about it. They don't know anything about this kind of warfare. This is us. And shame on us. We've got to stop this somehow. And believe me, I'm sure some minds are trying to figure that out right now. But I hope they move soon.
Well, yeah. I don't know how many people listened to Mike Adams this morning. He was talking about the... Oreshnik missile system that Russia has, and it was quite the eye-opening introduction into what I thought was, I mean, it sent me down a pretty deep rabbit hole, and just the entire situation, how we are really on the precipice of a kinetic war with really two major superpowers and Iran, the two being Russia, China, and then, of course, Iran.
And we can't fight that. We're not set up for that. Our military has been depleted.
Look at
our military now. It's a joke. Drill sergeants can't even yell at a recruit.
I know.
We got nothing. I feel sorry for them kids now. I really do.
That makes them into cannon fodder. I mean,
really. Absolutely turns them into cannon fodder. Yeah. And I don't want that. I don't want my friends and family and their children killed. And I don't, you know, Obama's back there somewhere behind this. I'm going to be honest with you. I think George Bush is behind this too.
George W. Bush.
The only one left living.
Yeah, well, Jeb and George, of course.
George Bush, yep. The ex-president.
Yeah. Along with the Cheney cabal and...
Well, because they were all part of this Arab Spring. This is nothing but the Arab Spring extended and modified. That's all this is. People, get it in your heads. I'm tired of preaching that. It's the Arab Spring extended.
We could take this back to the Benghazi, the Libyan takeover by Hillary when she was Secretary of State.
Saddam Hussein.
Correct.
We could take it all the way back to any intrusion into the Middle East.
Man,
we've been at this. We've been at this a long time. These globalists want a white boy globalization, and the Muslims want a caliphate. That's what it boils down to, ladies and gentlemen. And Russia's up there trying to keep the U.S. from slaughtering Syria and Iran because that's too close to them. And Putin is not about globalism. He's like Donald Trump. He likes his sovereignty.
And
he doesn't want NATO sneaking up his rectum.
Which we have broken every promise, every treaty.
We have no honor, Doug.
No. Well, we do. The leadership to date has not. And I'll say this: the past is prologue. And this is the second longest video that will play, or this is actually the longest, 4 minutes. But folks, I'd like you to watch this. And here's I'm going to lay this up for you, put in context. This was within months after President Trump took office in 2017. All right. And I don't know. I think RT, I think you found this video as well. It was a little different, but you found it. My apologies when I said it was the wrong video. But this is the correct video, or this is the video that was...
Just the history repeat?
This is the... Exactly. Yeah. This is history repeating itself.
Yeah, but, watch this, folks.
But listen to this and watch this. This is Professor Stephen Cohen.
Smart man.
On it's right on the Tucker Carlson show when Tucker was on Fox, but listen to the words coming out of Cohen's mouth and apply it to what we're seeing today. Go ahead. This is cut two.
This move announced by the State Department comes just one day after the current Secretary of State John Kerry doubled down on those attacks against Israel we mentioned, which will make achieving Mideast peace even harder for President-elect Donald Trump. And our next guest, a leading expert on Russia, says these new sanctions are not really aimed at Russia. This move, too, is actually meant to muddy the water some more for Mr. Trump. Stephen Cohen is professor of Russian studies at both NYU and Princeton University. Welcome, Professor. You say this is the president trying to cripple Mr. Trump a bit?
Well, it's one of the things I said. I'm not sure. I mean, look, we got a really strange situation, and I would say exceedingly dangerous.
Why?
Well, our relationship with Russia is worse than it's been since the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. And we're taking steps that are going to escalate it, make it worse. On the other hand, they haven't given us any facts about what the Russians actually did. So between this, I would say, semi-hysterical reaction by the American political class and the absence of facts, we don't ask, what's the impact of this going to be on Russia itself?
So
what kind of decisions is it going to produce in Moscow?
So what went wrong? We walked through some of the history, and it appears that Barack Obama, to say the least, in the 2012 campaign, downplayed the idea that Russia was a big political foe.
You don't want to ask me that question. You really don't. Because, first of all, we need a lot of time. Secondly, I'll commit an act of heresy.
Which is?
I've written a book about American-Russian relations since the end of the Soviet Union. 25 years this month, by the way. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
So
the Soviet Union. Wait, I did a good job. I conclude that we got where we are today in a new and more dangerous Cold War primarily because of American policy, not primarily because of a Russian policy. Mm-hmm. That does not make me an apologist for the Kremlin. What it makes me is a defender of American national security. So here's the question. Some of your people asked it.
Sure.
To what extent was what Obama did today? And by the way, it's not the sanctions that are dangerous. Mm. That's old Cold War stuff.
Right.
It's the covert actions he says are coming next.
Mm.
Right?
I mean, would you think that could blow back against us?
Well, what does he mean? Covert actions, cyber actions against banks, against nuclear control and command facilities, mm-hmm. against their radar? I mean, you don't want to make Russians in a state of high anxiety.
And he's doing this on the eve of a transfer of power here in the United States. And add to the mix these reports tonight about Russia brokering a ceasefire on
Syria.
And President Obama on the sidelines, not part of that, but the Russians are saying to Donald Trump, when you take office, you can join the talks.
Yeah, and that was very interesting. And basically he said, we're not talking to Obama anymore. We will talk to Trump. He can come into this. By the way, we should be talking about this Syrian arrangement because it's extremely important. But we're distracted about this. But here's the question.
But are we distracted on purpose because the administration doesn't want to talk about Syria because they haven't been able to deal with that crisis?
You know, I don't know if it's possible, but I think it's likely that an element of this these measures taken against Russia, particularly the sanctions, are meant to block any Trump-Putin cooperation or detente. Mm. I mean, McCain and the others virtually say that. But you got to ask, are the Russians going to retaliate now? I mean, we call what we did retaliation.
Yeah, they say they will.
Yeah, but we don't know until we produce the facts. Obama says he'll produce the facts in a few days, what the Russians actually did.
So your bottom line point tonight is, you've got 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, we are in an exceedingly dangerous relationship with Russia. There are three places fraught with actual war, Ukraine, Syria, and, of course, the Baltic region, where NATO is building up. Escalating now, with everybody talking about nuclear weapons, as Trump did last week, in my lifetime, I don't recall anything as dangerous as we now are going through, with a layer of hysteria in the media, everybody demanding that Obama do more.
Welcome to office, Mr. Trump. We appreciate it. Professor Cohen.
My apologies. That was December 29, 2016. President Trump had not taken office yet. So 8 years ago, if we played that now, it would have been almost the same words from that man's mouth, right?
Yeah, almost an echo.
Man. Folks in the chat, what do you think about that? Obama obviously seems to be running the show right now, right? Satan, but Obama, you know, what's the difference, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Russia can hurt us without a nuke. All right, people need to understand that. Okay, they can go after that basically as a communication line in the ocean.
Yeah,
destroy that thing, and guess what? Yeah, we'll all be just waving to each other. I mean, there's a lot of things they can do. We have a lot of interests abroad, and where our interests are housed, that state or country, it doesn't have the capability of standing off Russia to defend it.
No.
To defend our interests. And we're spread very thin. If you look at where our fleets are now, we're spread out kind of thin, folks.
Which, in addition to that, we 4 days ago, on November 21st, Russia wheeled out their new missile system called how do you pronounce that? Oreshnik. Oreshnik. Thank you.
Enough.
Yeah, missile system. And what this is a non-nuclear mid-range. It's not an intercontinental ballistic missile system, but a mid-range missile system. And really, this is one of the most dangerous and least interceptable missile systems on the planet. What it is, this is my understanding of what it is. This is a lay person, not a military person's understanding what it is. Think of this pen as a missile, and it's shot up into really low Earth orbit or into near space in Earth. All right. And this missile gets propelled straight up or over the target, I should say. And this missile carries one warhead with six sub warheads. And of those six sub warheads, there are six additional warheads. So you have a total of 36 warheads on this one missile. What makes this so dangerous is usually when missiles are sent up, the missile will go to its target and explode its ordnance. This really doesn't have any ordnance. The missiles don't have ordnance. The power behind this, again, this is a layperson's explanation, is Russia is able to send this up quickly and make it come down even quicker. Some estimate between Mach 10 and Mach 20. Now think about how fast that is, 10 to 20 times the speed of sound coming down at a target. At some point, those six warheads separate. They then find their targets and release the six sub warheads. And those sub warheads hit with a speed that will pulverize anything it hits, because it's hitting at such a high speed. It doesn't need any TNT, nuclear material, anything like that. Think of a bowling ball through a crepe paper, I guess. What it does.
They also said that there were explosions for 3 hours after the initial missile strike. There were explosions for 3 hours.
Yes.
From the initial strike. If you stop and think about it, it almost makes you wonder, there's got to be some sort of ordnance in there.
Well, perhaps.
Just the fact that it's a missile, I'm sure there's some ordnance in there. The initial coming down, I see what you're saying. The impact.
But, I mean, you're looking.
But to go on for 3 hours?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And the radius of the hit, of the blast, whatever you want to call it, is extensive, but they go underground. You know, I don't know how far
like
they
a
go.
Bunker, it's like a bunker buster.
Very, very much, but
probably times 10.
Yeah, and it exactly. So this hit, and in one of these hit an engine factory in Dnipro, which is the fourth largest city in Ukraine. So the submunitions. Again, six waves of six, total 36 strikes. This works by kinetic energy. The damage is caused really by the kinetic energy, not by the velocity of the bomb. So
it's kind of like our cluster bomb, you know what I mean? But magnified, like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, yeah. The
cluster bomb is just unbelievably deadly. You know, the initial thing, and then the different things bursting out of it. I mean, that's a kill machine. Bunker busters are the same thing. They're brutal. But this thing that they're talking about, this is coming out of Intercontinental.
Well,
dropping it in your yard.
It's in this case, it's not classified as an ICBM. It's and they got
so
around the trees.
It doesn't get up that far.
It doesn't. Well, it doesn't. I don't believe it.
I don't know the missile.
There's certain qualifications that you have to meet for it to be an intercontinental ballistic missile. I'm not sure, but they were able to. Look, man, I'm stupid when it comes to this.
See, they still refer to it as an ICBM. That's where my reference came from.
Well. Yes, but the Russians are denying it was an ICBM not because they can deny it, but because it really wasn't by definition an ICBM. So this is a new weapon system created by Russia. And the reason, so now I guess it would be an ICBM if they could hit the White House or, you know, the UK or somebody. I guess it would have to be, but regardless, the fact is that they have this. It is so fast that the Thor, I believe it's Thor, the protection systems, the identification systems, can't stop this. Can't stop these missiles. So
yeah,
Russia owns the planet.
It's not intercontinental, but it says this thing can strike up to like 3,100 miles away.
Okay,
that's a pretty good hike.
To me, I mean, that would be, in my lay mind, that would be a ICBM. But then what do I know? By definition, all I know is this is badass it could hurt things.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dangerous. If I die by missile, I don't care if it was an ICBM or not.
I mean, it doesn't matter when you're pulverized, you know.
On our way to heaven, Doug, I'll mention that to you.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. This is a response by Biden pushing the missiles to
Iran. This isn't Biden.
Well, okay, the U.S. and NATO allowing them the long range missiles to be placed in Ukraine.
How could they sit there and con this old man into this?
Maybe they circumvented the old man. Maybe the old man doesn't even know.
That's what I'm thinking. I thought Coconut Joe looked pretty busy down there in Peru. When things started happening, it's like he wasn't to be found.
You're right. And
my cream cone fell on the button.
Hey, when it falls on the sand at the beach, you know.
And what kills me is they want to keep the atomic football away from Trump. Trump's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the part that kills me. Ladies and gentlemen, this boils down to globalists versus the people of
exactly.
the planet. People of the planet, which means this boils down to bad, the globalists, and good, the people.
Amen.
We have a right to survive. And I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that thinks we should go after these globalists, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Like a thief in the night, baby.
Well, because we're giving you the bad news right now. Yeah, good news coming.
There's good news coming. But I hope Trump declares war on the globalist. That's something
I think he's going to.
Putin would join him in.
I From what I've been hearing, oh, yeah.
Somehow, Doug, I always thought as a child, when I was young, coming up in church and all, I always had this thing that it seemed like one day it would be U.S. and Russia against China. I always had
that's pretty accurate.
I had a feeling, just as a child and growing up, and no preacher ever came right out and said it. No Sunday school teacher came right out and said it, but I felt it, you know? And when I was in the military, of course, Russia was the bad guy. This was back in early 80s, okay? Russia was the bad guy. We were still in Cold War with Russia. And so everything was Russian. Every tank I learned about to destroy was a Russian tank. You know, the weapons we were against were Russian weapons. And because in the world, that was pretty much it. It was U.S. and Russia. NATO, Warsaw Pact. And that's where we were. And so that was always taught to be our enemy. However, it seemed like the more they taught me about Russia, the less I understood on why they were our enemy. If that makes any sense. That's
a good point, yeah.
Because they talked so much about Russia, and then I was reading about Russia and educating myself about Russia. And then I'm sitting here going, why are we, you know, we caused the Cold War. We were both equally responsible for that. It isn't that Russia was the bad guy in the Cold War. We were the bad guy to them.
Well, right. I mean, pre-Bolshevik era, yeah.
One thing will always trouble you as a soldier is you realize that the guy on the other side is a guy like you, just wearing a different uniform.
That's true.
And that's a hard...
It's disturbing.
That's a hard thing. You have to... Yeah. That's why you have to take all the personal feeling out of it, and it's business, not personal. Somebody's trying to kill you, and you got to kill them first. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
We have a ton of ground covered
tonight. Yeah, so to show you what happened 4 days ago, to show you what this new missile system is all about, is a display. This is a this has no audio to it. It's video 3, cut 3 at HagmanPI.com in the show notes. You can watch it yourself as well. This is the attack, missile attack by Russia, which struck Ukraine again 4 days ago. It's 27 seconds long, but I'll tell you what, it does show. Look at that. You can see the clusters of 6 coming down, and I mean look what it does atmospherically. I mean, there's nothing like this, or nothing that has ever been like this, and those are deadly precise too. You could put it on Eric the Tech's lap if you wanted to.
Oh, nice example, Doug.
Yeah.
How'd you like that, Eric?
Eric's not talking.
Not in your pocket, on your lap, sir.
Yeah, doggone right. So I mean, people, you know, what has the U.S. globalists or globalists embedded within the U.S. as well as the globalists in Germany, France? What have they done? What are they doing? You know, this is ridiculous. This is crazy, and plus, giving out landmines or allowing them to put or having them put landmines out there?
I thought we had grown out of that.
Wow.
I thought that after Afghanistan and watching the videos out of there and seeing the children, so many children, losses of life, missing arms and legs. Some of the videos I used to see would make me just, you know, it's one thing watching people getting blown to bits. But when I see kids hurt and I see children laying there bleeding because of landmines, I'm sorry. What a hideous way. Out of all the things in the military, they scared me the most. I'll tell you the one that really scared me, especially at night, was what they call the bouncing Betty.
Yeah.
This puppy, you step on this puppy and it would go to testicle height and below.
Yep.
That's no joke. And people laugh and joke about that. Yeah. Well, you'd be on a trail at night and listen for the click.
I've seen the schematics for that.
Doug.
Oh, my gosh.
And, Doug, if you step on it, you better stay on it. If you step on it, you got to click, you better stay on it until somebody can help you. And if they can't, and it takes a talented individual to help you. I've heard of it being done. But that, man, it's a three-prong deal. There's three prongs on there.
Yep.
And all it takes is one of them to re-extend. And that thing blows. It's pretty dangerous. And they taught us how to you know, take care of mines and all. I was actually very good at it. But when it's dark and it's at night and you're trucking through, you know, trucking up trail, if you're not looking for banana spiders in your face, you might find a mine.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say this. I would not have wanted to live your life during that period. Okay.
I hate sorry. Spiders.
Between banana spiders and landmines, I mean, what's next, you know? And then, of course, you have the snakes. And
that's lions and tigers and bears.
Lions and tigers and bears. All right. So that was the ICBM. So we have, again, going from the beginning of the show, you got Satan really running the White House, or at least the White House agenda, the West agenda. You have the Satanists, the communists, the globalists, whatever you want to call them, wanting to lay waste to the entire West, because if they can't run things, no one's going to run things.
The military's got to be involved in this too, Doug.
I 100% agree with you on
absolutely.
That.
We've got some joint chiefs that have gone astray here. And when Trump comes in, there needs to be some asses under arrest.
And that's the other thing that you're going to see, that we're going to, Randy Taylor and I are going to lay out for you, that's going to happen. I do believe that. And if it doesn't, then you know what?
And then you wonder why they're trying to kill the guy.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point, folks. This segues nicely into the fourth video. Tucker again, okay? But he lays out that, look, he's warning that the deep state has decided that World War III is the only way to stop Trump from exposing their crimes. And again, after this, you know, we're going to show you some good stuff in terms of what's being done to rectify and mitigate this. But this is cut four in the show notes. It's about 3.5 minutes, but it's important because this is really what it's all about. Here it is.
I am very concerned that the people who have hated Trump for 8 years and run out of ways to destroy him, indicting him, well, first calling him a racist, spying on him with the federal intel agencies, sicking the FBI on him, trying to put him in prison, then trying to kill him at least twice, probably more, actually, but at least twice. And that those people, out of options, have decided the only way to stop Trump and the disclosure that a Trump administration will bring, once again, disclosure is what they fear, having their crimes revealed, that the only way to stop Trump is with a world war. And so I've been pretty fixated on that for months, probably more than a year. I've just thought a lot about it, and I know a lot of the people involved, and they're very, very, very focused on war. Permanent Washington doesn't care about domestic policy, in case your viewers, I'm sure, know this, but just want to restate it. They don't care about domestic policy. They don't care about fixing the country, closing the borders, ending the drug crisis, getting the cartels out of, you know, the entire Southwest. They don't care about that. What they care about is exercising power abroad, killing people because it makes them feel like God, and making money. And that's where the money is, trillions of dollars. So they care about foreign policy. And I have been concerned and remain concerned that that group of people, which is basically everyone in D.C. in both parties, wants Trump to take the country to war, either against Russia or, comma, far more likely, comma, Iran. And I think what people outside, I don't know how to the degree to which this is understood, but I just will say it. A war with Iran is a world war. This is not 2002. Iran is now part of a coalition that includes the biggest economies in the world and the largest militaries in the world. So a war with Iran means a war in effect, or, you know, by proxy, but still a war with Russia, China, Turkey, and a lot of the rest of the world. So that's a world war. It's not just as simple as we're going to take out their nuclear facilities. Okay. How are you going to do that? And how are you going to ensure that that doesn't destroy the United States in the process? And of course, they don't care whether it destroys the United States. That's the actual answer. They don't care. And if they cared, they would pause and think about it. But anyway, I don't want to be bitter about it. But to me, it's really simple. Anybody who would even consider having a war with Russia or Iran should not be in any position of power at all in this administration or any other administration. It's super simple. And I think especially Ukraine is so obvious. Now, there is some debate on Iran, and I'm not endorsing Iran. I'm not a Shiite. But there's really no debate at this point about the debacle that has been Ukraine. Ukraine's not going to win. It's just completely destroyed Ukraine. It hasn't crushed Russia. It's really hurt the United States. So anyone who can't say that out loud should not have a job in the federal bureaucracy. So that's my litmus test. It's not about people or personality. Right. Of course, I know them all, as I know you do too, and I like a lot of them. I even like some of the guys I disagree with. One in particular I like very much. Nice guy, good guy. But it's just a simple, practical test for whether or not you should wield power. Do you have the requisite wisdom to lead my country? And if you're still defending the war in Ukraine, you do not have the requisite wisdom to lead my country. That's my opinion.
And again, from the same interview, there it is. So, Randy Taylor, how many people do you see on social media with Ukrainian flags in their bios?
I'm so fed up with it. And listen, I'm not a murderer.
No.
I don't condone the killing of innocent people. I do not. Okay?
Yeah.
And Ukraine, my beef with this entire Ukraine thing is the fact that we were pushed into this, okay, by greedy politicians and globalists. That's where, and Ukraine has been a gigantic laundering machine for U.S. money. Ill-received funds, ill-gotten funds, washed and sent back. And I think in the beginning, Putin went into Ukraine not so much to gain land for his country. Not about that. This is about NATO breaking their word, NATO trying to sneak in the back door, NATO trying to get a toehold. Okay? And this gigantic laundry machine that he's been watching going back and flowing back to U.S. politicians, to U.S. companies. There's all kinds of ill. Look at Ukraine, okay? The sex trade. Incredible. The arms trade. Incredible. Anything that's happening in Ukraine goes against good. And that's where I'm at on it. And I never believed in sending money there. So I say, I'm not saying I want to see the people of Ukraine die. I just say, it's your problem. Figure it out. It's not our war. I don't want that war. If you look at the polls, most of the United States had told you in November that they don't want that war. The globalists want to go to war. Something's got to shake down here between now and the 20th of January. Something's got to shake out here. Well, we're going to be in full-blown World War III. And don't forget biblical prophecies, okay, about the 1,000 years and Satan being released. And remember the story, the prophecy of Gog and Magog, right? That comes out of the north and goes after Israel. So you read your Bible.
That's right.
Okay? And I know sometimes it's not in really simple English for a lot of folks. Me being one of them, okay? But it's close enough in there. It's just an amazingly accurate book. And to date, it's been pretty accurate. And I don't want, you know, if we're there, we're there. But I don't think we are yet. I think this can be staved off. But when we get a chance to get these globalists in our sights, we've got to take it. We've got to take the shot. We've got to knock them out of power. They've got to go.
We do.
They've got to go, and I mean around the world, and I don't give a hoot who they are. do what we have to do. Put them on a target list, target opportunity, military target, whatever. Put some teams out there looking for them. Because we can get to every one of these globalists. They can be removed.
Yeah, the people pushing for all this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't think for a second that we can't remove them. We just need the order to do it.
Well, everything that you just said really ties up, and we'll tie this segment of the show up with respect to the international intrigue and the attempt to take us to World War III by the people, by the globalists who don't want to see Trump. I mean, they want to cripple Trump. Barring that, they want to just destroy the West, destroy the planet.
And just by the these people are evil by the methods and the fact that they would even do this.
Yeah.
We're talking about how, imagine the death toll. Just imagine the death toll if one of those missiles were launched into the United States.
Oh.
Or one of our allies.
I mean, one hitting New York City or any populated location or even a military installation would just have devastating effects.
Yeah, and don't say, oh, Russia's too far away. No, you know what? They have submarines that are sitting right offshore.
That's right.
Every city we have, if they wanted to put it in Oklahoma City, they could.
That's right.
Nothing's safe.
It's ridiculous. In this 60-second video, this summarizes pretty much everything Randy Taylor just said. This is RFK Jr.'s daughter-in-law, Amaryllis Fox Kennedy. She nails it regarding Ukraine, and this is where we'll kind of leave off with Ukraine. It's 60 seconds in length. This is cut 5 in the show notes. Again, HagmanPI.com. Open up today's episode, and all the links will be there, even the ones we didn't get to. So this is cut 5.
So this is a tweet from me. I don't normally read people's tweets, but in standing with Ukraine, the Biden-Harris administration convinced them, Ukraine, to abandon a peace deal that would have ceded only half of the territory that Russia now occupies. And for that opportunity to lose twice as much of their homeland, they paid with tens of thousands of innocent lives. We did this to control the 11 trillion of minerals under the Donbas. We did it to grind down the Russian war machine on the grist of Ukrainian teenagers. We did it to hand out hundreds of billions of dollars to U.S. hedge funds who are, as we speak, carving up rights to Ukraine's fertile soil and vast mineral resources. The truth is, the United States has never stood with the people of Ukraine. That is simply a jingle, an ad campaign broadcast to those who have never been there, designed to sell taxpayers on the appeal of prolonging war for profit. We have cost Ukraine her territory. We have cost Ukraine her children. The war hawks and the bankers are no friends to Ukraine. Whoa!
Bada bing, bada bang. That about summarizes it in that one tweet that Carlson read from Kennedy's daughter-in-law. Pretty much what you said, minus the, well, you didn't mention the, I think you did mention the mineral rich.
No, I did. I failed to mention that.
All right. Well, that pretty much.
I was just looking at the black market trade of, sex and arms.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's a doorway.
Well,
so the stuff that flows through there would blow people's minds, and you don't hear about it on CNN. You don't hear about it on Fox. You really have to research that. And I'm telling you, it is a portal for evil. Ukraine is, and not because necessarily the people who are running Ukraine and the oligarchs, whatever you call them, the rich people over there. Their globalists teamed up with our globalists and politicians. That's and every right. aid package that went out of the U.S., ladies and gentlemen, was trimmed so the politicians would get paid. Don't think it wasn't.
Again, when you look back, first of all, military contractors, they want to add new countries to NATO all the time because they've got to conform military purchases to NATO weapon specifications. You got to think about that. Mm-hmm. And that really creates a trapped market for companies like Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, and Lockheed. Now, when you go back and look after what Russia did. And I should add that Russia tried repeatedly to settle on terms that were very, very beneficial to Ukraine and the U.S. The major things they wanted for us to keep NATO out of Ukraine, which we decided, no, that's not going to happen, despite our assurances. But in March of 2022, we committed $113 billion to Ukraine. To give you an example how much that is, you could possibly build a home for every homeless person in the U.S. with that money. And Mitch McConnell, to your point, Mitch McConnell said that the funds really aren't going to Ukraine. They're going to American defense manufacturers. It's really a money laundering scheme there. And who owns those places? Well, BlackRock owns many of those companies, mm-hmm. benefiting, and it's profiting massively from this war. So, and I should add this. Ukraine's land is one of the richest farmlands in the world, which has been sold off. 30% of it already bought by companies like DuPont, Cargill, Monsanto, and BlackRock. And who's going to rebuild Ukraine when this is all over? BlackRock. They've got the contract, and they're doing it. They're doing all this right in front of our eyes, and people don't care. So there's that. But now let's, how about some good news? Switching topics and gears here.
BlackRock is like Halliburton used to be. Halliburton with the no big contracts in Iraq. I'll tell you right now, I had a company. We sold a ton of stuff to Halliburton. Price was not an object.
They didn't care.
They would call and order air conditioning systems for here. Right. They would, for FEMA camps, they would order air conditioning. We shipped them all over the place. We were shipping to ports in North Florida. They were being picked up. They were being picked up and shipped over to Iraq. I know in some of the videos I saw of American bases in Iraq that I was responsible for some of those air conditioning systems sitting there.
Wow.
You recognize them, you know?
And of course.
And it was amazing. And they were tied in with American Express. If that's a hint of any kind.
American Express.
Yes, that's where they bought everything on American Express.
Huh.
Just a side note, I don't know if it means anything, but I never saw a Visa or MasterCard on Halliburton.
Wow. Okay. Don't leave home without... No, I guess that's the wrong... Is that the right...
No, that's the right one, yeah.
And
this was back in the day, and... You know, I thought we were the good guys, and I was happy to have the sales. Don't get me wrong. You know, anybody's happy to sell, $50,000-$60,000 worth of air conditioning in one shot.
Did you know where it was going, though? The ultimate destination?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Well, but it was always port to port. I didn't deliver it to an address.
Port to port. Okay. I got it. I got it. Yeah. Well, okay. Now, what should we look out for? And I was studying on this weekend. Between now and Inauguration Day, what should we be on the lookout for with respect to Donald Trump and events? So I did a search, and I did another search, and I qualified it by time, and I looked through a lot of videos. This video, a minute 27. Is how long this is. And this is Matt Boyle. He's the weekend editor for Breitbart. And he was the most concise, in my view, and the most, to me, made the most sense out of everything I looked at. And this is what we should be on the lookout for before Inauguration Day. This is cut 6, a minute 27 is all this is, but it's information packed. Here it is.
The big thing to watch between now and Inauguration Day, rather than these Trump picks and the back and forth, I know the media likes to focus on this stuff and they're all rushing out to report this or that or the other thing. The big thing I think to watch is what the Biden administration is doing. These lefty psychos are doing on the way out. They are undermining the incoming administration, just like we saw the first time, right? Like back when it was a transition from Obama to Trump. with the holdovers and whatnot and borrowing in and doing all sorts of different things. I'm digging into a lot of different things right now, and I hope to have some stories perhaps as soon as this week that go into some of these things that they're doing. And I'm telling you right now, there are major problems across the federal government, and some of them across multiple departments, where the left is doing everything they can to cover up the failures of leftist policies, like the open border, like the green energy scam, like the leftist economic policies and more. And Trump's team needs to be ready. And I think they're more prepared than they were in 2016 into 2017, because they've been through this before. But this is going to be a big thing. You're going to see the deep state, the bureaucracy, et cetera, resist President Trump to the best of their ability. I mean, they're holding cry sessions right now over at the Foggy Bottom. At the
you're right.
The big
Did you happen to see that, Randy Taylor, the over at... Eric, you're killing me, bro. The therapy or the Zoom online cry sessions for the people over at State. Did you happen to see that?
I try and focus my time on some more podcasts.
Man, okay.
I would want to jump in there and just rip them all a new one.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me a password. There you go, baby.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
You know what? They're all crying and they want to go. Go. Yeah.
But
you're going to get fired anyway.
But isn't it? But isn't this emblematic or illustrative of the MK Ultra kind of mind control thing that
anybody that's on the left, though? Come on, you've talked with people on the left. I see every day. I see something about that from that Joy Bear or whatever her name is.
Yeah, yeah.
On the View. And I listen to this person in just a little clip, and I sit there and I think, how can you be that stupid and get through life like being around other people, sharp objects, and to have to drive to where you're employed? How do you manage to do that when you're that stupid? When you listen to people like that, doesn't that make your head hurt?
Believe me, I
because you're trying to rat. I'll get into a discussion with somebody that's a leftist.
Yeah.
They don't come at me with daggers, okay, because they know that's going to be pointless. So we try and meet in the middle. But I can't.
Where is their middle, though? That's the problem I have.
No, that's what I'm saying. I can't.
Yeah, okay.
The middle, yeah. Meaning they don't insult me right off the get-go. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they have a middle. I'm saying in a discussion.
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah, they're going to thank me. They're going to meet me in the middle. But just by talking, they insult me.
That's, I can see that. Yes.
And then I think about these people are in our institutions. They're teaching our children.
Yes.
They're running our government. You know, we're going to find out so much this time around, because Trump's not going to be tied up with these ridiculous impeachment things this time. These people are going to be running for the hills, okay? I can't wait till Adam Schiff is put in handcuffs and brought in for questioning. I just can't wait.
I
will have a party because I can't stand that guy. I loathe the man entirely.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know how he could ever come back from how much I loathe this individual. I don't see how he could ever come back. But people, things are going to start dropping everywhere. You saw that the, what's her name? Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah.
She bailed out.
Now, yeah, you know, leaving a mess behind her, but yes. Yeah,
but now the stories are going to come out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Treasury.
Yes.
Okay, this is going to be, and Treasury covers a lot of things, not just money, Secret Service, a lot of things in here. There's a lot in this ball of yarn. A lot is going to come flying out because we have a long time till the 20th. And things are going to, we're going to hear so much. I wish there was a way that an incoming president could invoke something that could move him into office sooner. I wish there was a way that you could take both the Senate and the House of Representatives, which combined makes Congress, my friend Larry. Okay. He took, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a deep thank you to a friend of mine, Larry. He wrote me an email and he said, just the very sound of my voice makes his day. It makes him happy. And he said, occasionally, I swear. And he said, but I'm nowhere near ruining the program with my language. He said he understands because he's kind of like a Christian kind of guy. And he said, I forgive you because I try and understand the life you've had, how you may have possibly picked up some of those words along the way. But, you know, I'm praying for you and that you know, you'll stop swearing one day. And I want to say thank you to Larry because I could tell just by the email, I could feel the love, man. I could feel the love. And Larry, I just want to say, buddy, every day I get up and when I'm putting my tie on, looking in the mirror, I thank you. Thank you, Larry. Okay. I was being serious. I mean, a lot of people make the mistake of calling the House of Representatives Congress.
Yeah, look.
You know, that's because because here at the end of the day, there's congressmen and there's senators.
Right.
Granted, they're all Congress, but they're two separate houses in the same building.
Oh,
and they both have a set of legislative rules, and one gets past one, goes to the other. You know? So far be it for me. Now, I understand that I should have went to college. I didn't. Okay? All I have is book smarts and street smarts that I attained on my own because when the other kids went to college, I went in the military. So I missed a few things. But but I do know how to balance a checkbook. And I do
know. You
can
change a tire too, right?
I can change a tire. You got it.
There you go.
And I proved to everybody that I can put gas in the car. And I can pretty much shoot the testicles off of a moth at about 100, 200 yards. My best shot ever was about 600 meters.
600 yards?
Meters.
Meters. Well, yes, okay.
That's slightly more than a moth, sir. But my best shot was about 600 meters. It's about 600 yards. It was with a German Mauser 8mm bolt action rifle.
Wow.
Yeah, specially made for the big guy.
Hit the target too, right?
You got it, baby. Before I could take off running.
I'm at.
That's it. Eric, you weren't supposed to tell anybody that. All right, come on. We got a million videos here. We're lagging behind people. Testicle stories.
So much fun when Eric the Tech pops in like that. You're talking about
it.
Mothballs and I don't know. What have we done here?
It all started when you said in his lap.
In his lap. That must have been it. Trigger warning. Oh, my gosh. Folks, before we get going, you're listening to the Hagman Report today, Monday, the 25th day of November, 2024. Please sign up for follow us on Rumble. Just make an account. It's free. It's a minute. It takes you a minute. And hit the follow button. And we really appreciate this. I appreciate you doing that. Also, follow us on social media. Myself, I think it's at Hagman Report. I'm not sure. It's in the program description as well as. Okay. Thanks. I know yours. I don't know mine. Yours, of course, is Randy Taylor_USA. Okay. So.
Our shows.
Yeah.
Put them out there. Make sure you guys see them. Advertisers. Our friend Kirk Finney, his water systems. Yeah. I've been putting ads out for that, but different things. And just watch this. We're starting to come out of the mud on Twitter, starting to get some followers. I have some really faithful ones. Thank you to our faithful followers. We have some. It doesn't matter what's posted; they repost it, and they're bringing us people. So You know what? Yeah. God bless you, and thank you for sticking with us. And I'll tell you what, you don't give up, and we won't give up. Okay.
Amen to that. Amen. And we're all in this together. And of course, God is in control. We like that. And, yeah. You know, so anyway, before we get back to the news, I just want to just draw people's attention to staywarmnow.com. That's staywarmnow.com. Folks, you can right now, you can get up to 60% off. Hey, look, heating bills are expected to surge this winter, with many people expected to face double-digit increases this year. It's cold here. I don't know about where you're at, but it's getting colder. And the economy is already difficult, so this could force many to have to choose between unaffordable heating or other necessities, whether it's food, medicine, or you name it. You know, I'm not worried myself because I use an incredible little device. You can see it on the screen right there. It plugs into a wall outlet, and it quickly warms up my house without raising any electric bills. It doesn't hardly, I don't even think it takes that much electricity at all. It's powerful enough to warm up places like my bedroom, living room, office, or anywhere else I need heat immediately. It includes a built-in overheat protection, has adjustable heat settings from gentle warmth to toasty comfort. Do yourself a favor. Grab one of these for right now. 60% off, or up to 60% off this Black Friday only. Go to staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll receive free shipping expedited. Free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and several other free bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com. Give the gift of warmth this holiday season. All right. With me is Randy Taylor, Randy_Taylor_USA on X, all social media as well. Any other places that he's at, that's what he would be. RT@AgmanPI.com. That's his email address. Follow him. Stalk him.
Looking for a new email, buddy.
What's that?
I'm always looking for a new email, buddy.
or a stalker or whatever it might be, right?
Hey, I get them all.
you got that. You got, actually, you do.
You know
have,
what? I have some very wonderful people email me. Maggie.
Oh, I'm telling you, yes.
Maggie, hello. I'm glad you're on Twitter. That woman emails. She can tell if I'm having a bad time, too. And she's just one of these people that cheers you up.
Yeah.
You know? She's really, really, her and her husband are beautiful people. And I thank God for knowing them.
And I think that's probably one of the most satisfying things with this, having met many of these people, you know, and having corresponded with them. I'm telling you right now,
Carla, Donna, there's about Deb. Oh. I have several Debs. Clara's. You know what? we got a bunch of them. Rick, Tom. Larry, you're on there, buddy.
Yeah,
Fred. And Fred, I met Fred because I made a joke on the show. I used to always refer to, anytime I'd speak about somebody like that guy over there, I would always say, well, if you ask Fred over there.
That's
and
right.
He wrote me one time and he said, by the way, my name's Fred.
Right.
Coolest guy in the world. Looks like Santa Claus. I love him.
You're the guy I was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, okay. So today and this weekend, really, but today especially, we saw a lot of things. And this is good news. There is lawfare going on. And, you know, we personally have experienced lawfare. It's no fun. It's time consuming. It messes with your head. It messes with your pocketbook or your wallet. I'm telling you, it's expensive and it's, so I can't imagine the lawfare against President Trump and others. Now, today, Jack Smith dropped all of the charges, and Chutkin, the judge, dismissed the charges without prejudice. Now, I've got a problem with that, as does Julie Kelly. You can dismiss with prejudice or without prejudice. Without prejudice, you can refile. With prejudice means that no, there's no refiling possible. Judge, end of story. Of course, you're done. So she left it open where these charges could be refiled after President Trump's final term, which is now. Just imagine that. okay, how bad would things have to be? But here is page one in the show notes. This is the this is by Julie Kelly? I don't recall here. I don't have it marked down in the show notes. But this
Jeff
is
Clark.
Jeff Clark. Thank you very much. And I didn't mark it down in the show notes. But thank you for that. So what Jeff Clark is saying right now, and I love this because I think that these well, this is right on. The motion seeks dismissal without prejudice. As I mentioned, this is an absurd. This is absurd and raises the prospect that Judge Chutkan will grant that relief, obviously, and leave a sword of Damocles hanging over the president's head, such that the case against him could be reactivated in 2029. No, the American people don't want that. This is pure lawfare. Those are my words now. The biggest, this is number two, the biggest problem with this move is that Jack Smith's basis for moving for dismissal without prejudice is that two OLC options, one from the Nixon administration, the other from Clinton, opined that sitting presidents can't be indicted or the separation of powers is violated. But the OLC opinions say the immunity is temporary. Now, this is to rectify OLC opinions over Supreme Court precedent. The Supreme Court in the Trump versus U.S. case ordered that the president is permanently and absolutely immune from the categories of actions and presumptively immune, also on a permanent basis, from other categories of action. And folks, you may remember, or hopefully you remember, the decision in the 1512 C2 decision that SCOTUS ruled on I think it was June 28th of this year. That's what's being referenced there. Absolute immunity for any sitting president. And he goes on. You can read it yourself. But this is in response to another message where Jack Smith today asked Judge Chutkan to dismiss a D.C. case against Donald J. Trump, which she did. But there again, it can come back to bite him. But it's still good news. Now, having said that, here is the better news. This is cut eight in the show notes. And Randy Taylor, I think I picked this out just for you. I heard you yelling at me or yelling about this seriously in the background. And folks, tell me what you think about this. The legacy media, the corporate media, the monsters out there, the globalist stenographers, they're using the same rationale as Nuremberg. And we've said that many times. But listen to Steve Bannon. It's just under 3 minutes here. Listen to what Steve Bannon has to say today. I think this was this evening, or maybe it was this afternoon. I'm not sure, about what is taking place right now and about the payback that's coming. And payback is coming. Here it is, cut eight.
What's so disgusting about you guys? We took it like men. We fought back. We never backed up an inch. Some of us went to prison. We never backed up an inch. And today is a crushing victory for President Trump and the MAGA movement. Jack Smith drops it all. Damian Williams, the corrupt source, a scumbag, a Southern District of New York, running away. You guys can't run. Run all you want. And the guy at the FBI crowned, the guy on MSNBC, oh, it's so terrible. They're going to have to get lawyers. Yeah, you're damn right you're going to have to get lawyers. You're damn right you're going to have to get lawyers. You're damn right you're going to have to get lawyers. You guys are going to be investigated and you're going to be crushed because you're a bunch of criminals and you use state power to try to destroy the populist movement and you failed. You didn't destroy Trump and you certainly didn't destroy us. You gave us your best shot. You know what? It wasn't good enough. And now we're coming for you. Today, look at them scramble. Look at these rats leaving the ship. Run everywhere you want. You better be damn sure the United States does not have an extradition treaty because we're going to extradite you guys back here to stand trial and then go to prison. And I can tell you, coming out of Danbury, prison's not going to be that good for you guys. Nope. Not going to be good for you, Jack Smith. Not going to be good for you, Damian Williams, FBI. I want to play this, but this is MSNBC at its height. The genius Katie Turk. Is it Katie Turk piece cut from that first? Just play that little clip of Katie Turk. I want you to play this, and I'm going to go back in history and tell you who makes this argument. Let's go ahead and play it.
And Tom, if I were Jack Smith today, I'd be a little bit nervous. If I was anybody on his prosecutorial team, I'd be nervous as well, especially if I was one of those career employees who was assigned to the job and was just doing as I was assigned. I was investigating as I was told, following the law and following the crumbs that Donald Trump left where they may.
You know who made that argument? Field Marshal Hermann Göring actually made a very coherent argument of the individuals in the German government in the Nazi regime. They said, hey, look, what are you talking about, crimes against humanity? This was German law, and we were just following German law at the time. We didn't do anything wrong. We obeyed the law. We were just civil servants just doing our job to initiate the war that killed, I don't know, a couple hundred million people and to eradicate the Jewish population, they try to eradicate, I guess, the gay population. They try to eradicate many priests. They said we're just doing it. Katie Turr, almost word for word, that's how the SS and the Nazis try to get off the hook at the Nuremberg trial. Wasn't good enough then, and ain't going to be good enough now.
There it is.
I am so looking forward to this. I really can't wait to watch the news at night and find out who was arrested and indicted that day. They've got it coming.
Two questions. Do you think that the new Department of Justice will in fact go after that, whether it be with a special prosecutor, which, by the way, does not have to be approved by Congress, but I said Congress. But
I think whatever rules are going to be made and put in place to make this happen.
Okay, you do see this happening then, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You'd be foolish not to. We have to get the rule of law back to normal in this country. They're going to call it a vendetta. No, it's going to be called reconciliation. It's going to be called bringing it back to where it's supposed to be. You've just been evading capture for the last 10 years. We're coming for you. Adam Schiff, I hope they put him in jail. Jack Smith, now, this is something I was thinking about today. If they've dropped that January 6th thing against Trump, then in January, the House of Representatives would be hard-pressed to try and bring in articles of insurrection.
Oh, yeah. So I think this is like a double blessing.
So this is a double blessing in a way.
Yes.
Because you're curtailing it here and now and setting the pace. See, this whole thing that I've been watching, we're watching worldwide.
Right.
We have been sitting here thinking that they're going to try and kill Trump, which I firmly believe they still will.
I do,
however,
too.
However, Trump is staying out of sight. Okay, he's got security around him. He's being smart. I think that they're trying to set up just in case they miss. They want him to have a load of trouble, you know, coming in with the World War III thing and trouble with Russia and the whole nine yards. And they haven't even begun.
And the economy, too,
to pull out of their basket of evil.
That's right.
We haven't gotten started. I'm just really curious to see what happens now with our legislative houses about putting the brakes on some things. When I say legislative, I'm talking about, you know, House of Representatives, the Senate, which makes Congress. Right, Larry? I got it. All right, cool.
You're having too much fun.
I'm not the slow learner that accused me of being.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. Well, okay, so I was watching that, and I went back in the his first segment, the morning segment, and then went back to the evening segment. And this is, he brought on Mike Davis from Article 3 Project. And there were two segments I was really impressed with by Mike Davis, who I believe would have made a great attorney general, but he may be serving in a different capacity in that respect, but I'll leave that alone. And cut nine is, if it wasn't about election and lawfare, and folks think about this, if it wasn't about election and lawfare, the charges, that is, why are they dropping the charges now? And I think that we have to, when you look at them dropping charges and had the ripple effect that Randy Taylor just spoke about, you have to wonder why. Why drop them? Is it because, well, they couldn't, I mean, they're hamstrung? Not really. No. They could move forward.
They could have had their sentencing dates and all and kept them. But you exactly. have to, and that's a good question that Doug's asking. Why? Like, it's so, almost like, we were just kidding. We were just playing with you, man. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, and that's why I played that first one, because I heard you through that first clip. I heard your voice, and I thought, man, you know, we're coming after you. Okay. And then he brought Davis on and asked that question, why now? Well, by dropping these cases, this is exposing the very people who need exposing, right?
Yeah. Beautiful.
And
it's okay, his man instead, Doug. It's like the rats deserting the show.
There we go. Yes.
What a perfect description of what's happening.
And if I could add a side note, just a little side note, you hear about people leaving the country. Oh, I don't know, like Ellen DeGeneres and her, its wife, Portia. Okay. Whatever.
I'm still waiting for the pig roast, Rob Reiner. He was supposed to set himself on fire. I have made numerous offers on Twitter.
I get it now. Pig roast. Okay. Well.
Yeah. Oh, you can see that big boy on fire, right? Woo! Get it, Meathead. Do it, Meathead.
Boy, I wonder if Gwen Walls would keep her windows open for that. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Geez, this is cut nine. Ben bringing Davis on and asking that question. If it wasn't about lawfare and the election, then why are they dropping the charges? This is just over 2 minutes. A great video. Cut nine. Here it is.
Well, it's a huge day, and it vindicates what we've been saying on this show, Steve, for over 2 years, that this was blatant lawfare and election interference by President Biden and these Democrat prosecutors like Jack Smith, Fannie Willis, Tish James, Alvin Bragg, Chris Mays. They run this unprecedented lawfare and election interference. And they said, oh, the election doesn't matter. We're doing this because we're pursuing the law. So why are they dropping these cases right after the election if it wasn't about lawfare and election interference? And what needs to happen? These Democrat prosecutors and witnesses and operatives and even judges who engaged in this unprecedented lawfare and election interference must face severe legal, political, and financial
Whoa.
Consequences.
Whoa.
And that includes Whoa. A criminal probe under 18 U.S.C. Section 241, conspiracy against rights. Jack Smith is very familiar with this statute. It's one of the charges he brought against President Trump in this bogus, his bogus January 6th case in D.C. for the non-crime of objecting to a presidential election, which is allowed by the Electoral Count Act of 1887 and the First Amendment. This is very destructive what they did. They came after President Trump, his top aides like you, Steve Bannon, and Peter Navarro, who went to prison, his supporters on January 6th, who were politically persecuted. His parents, outraged by gender chaos in schools and the resulting rapes in bathrooms. It is unacceptable what Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, Jack Smith, Lisa Monaco, Christian Clark, Tish James, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg, Matthew Colangelo, Chris Mays, all of these Democrat operatives engaged in a criminal conspiracy against rights, and they must face severe consequences for this. So it never happens again. As they say, nobody is above the law. If they've done nothing wrong, they shouldn't worry about anything. And of course, a grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, can bring these charges. And if a grand jury brings these charges, they're legitimate, right?
Think about that. Okay, so just like they went after the J6ers for the section 1512 or 1512C2, I think it is, as well as the undercover of rights, the 18 USC section 241, they could be gone after for the same thing, this time against President Trump and others. So there it is. But Randy Taylor, got a bonus for you.
Yes, please. We're in the bonus business.
This is bonus. This is bonus time. And then, then I'm going to put you on the hot spot because something happened in Canada over the weekend, and I'm sure you heard it from people, your people up there. I need to talk to you about, and folks, you need to hear this as well because it's coming this way. But first,
it could be any one of a number of things that goes on up here on a typical weekend.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, well, just hold your folks, hold on, because you're going to hear something. But this is cut nine. It's just not Fannie Willis and, you know, Nathan Wade and Tish James and oh no.
Because, yeah, what's up with Letitia James? Where are we at with that?
I don't know. I mean, in what respect?
Well, what's she got to say for herself?
I think she's been rather quiet.
I think that somebody needs to go.
Should give her a call? Let's
absolutely
see.
I would rather go in phone person.
Man. Eric the Tech, gotta love you, man. Okay. Is that you, Tish? Fanny? Who is that? Fanny.
This is Jenny Craig calling.
We have a 2-for-1 special.
Oh, man. Ouch. Okay.
Larry can't come to the phone right now. Okay. This is a bonus because it's just not about those people. It's even about the judges. And this is the last of the Bannon Davis clips.
This is the part that always bothered me, was that the judges allowed these cases. This kind of stuff, if you brought it in my courtroom, I would throw you out.
But you're not Juan Mershon, whose daughter is making a mint off these things.
That's what I'm saying. These judges should not be sitting on benches. These judges, within the next 365 days, need to be banished.
They should be sitting on spikes.
Yeah, to wherever bad judges go. That's where they need
the
to go.
The bad judge.
These people, these federal judges, I am ashamed to say that they're part of the American legal system.
Well, the federal and state.
Yep.
This is a conspiracy. I mean, this whole thing has been a conspiracy by the left.
Yeah, and they brought in Jack Smith as a hired gun.
Well, illegally, because you have to, for a special counsel, you've got to have act under the umbrella of the Department of Justice, not the UN or the Hague or whatever, which Jack Smith came from, but I digress. But here's video 9, which, you're going to take a lot of joy in this bonus video 9, 2:20. Here it is.
You cannot pass on the judges. The reason this scandal is so massive, that this cuts right to the bench. It's just not about lawyers. It's just not about DOJ. It's just not about the U.S. attorneys. This goes right to the bench, and it goes to the bench in the premier federal court in the United States of America, and that is Washington, D.C., sir.
Yeah, these judges who were co-conspirators in this conspiracy against rights under 18 U.S.C. Section 241 for participation in this blatant Democrat lawfare and election interference must also be investigated, right? These judges are not above the law. And when they take off their judicial robes and put on their partisan Democrat pom-poms and engage in this lawfare and election interference, they are culpable. And we saw this with D.C. Judge, former Chief Judge Beryl Howell, when she eviscerated 250 years of constitutional executive privilege. She eviscerated attorney-client privilege. She was the one who ran the grand jury process on this lawfare. We see this with D.C. Obama Judge Tanya Shutkin, and Julie Kelly just laid this out, how she violated so many different norms. She put illegal gag orders on a criminal defendant, which violates that criminal defendant's First Amendment rights. You see that she politicized and weaponized her courtroom. She let Jack Smith put on a partisan case, highly unusual, unprecedented partisan presentation right before the election. It's just unbelievable what they've done. They did this up with Judge Engoron in New York, right, where he ran a partisan clown show, another unconstitutional gag order, clear violation of President Trump's constitutional rights. It happened with Judge Juan Mershon. His daughter, his adult daughter, Mershon's adult daughter is raising money off of this case. The Biden campaign and Kamala campaign were paying Lauren Mershon, the daughter. It required Mershon's recusal under New York statutes. And what? How did Judge Mershon respond to the recusal motion? He threatened to put Trump in jail if he mentioned this recusal issue with his daughter again. It's happened in all of these different jurisdictions. So it's not just the Democrat prosecutors and witnesses and other operatives. It is also these judges who must be probed under 18 U.S.C. Section 241, conspiracy against rights. It's a very serious federal civil rights felony.
Probed, that's the word. Oh, you know where this started? Let me tell you what gave these judges the idea that they could act like this.
All right.
And this should have been addressed when it happened. She should have been stepped on, and she should have been kicked out. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg started speaking out against Trump while she was on the bench. I don't know if you people remember that, but that old cow, that old hen, used to speak out against Trump while she was a Supreme Court justice.
I vaguely remember that when she was going to different places.
She needed to shut her pie hole. Yeah. She should have been, honestly, she should have been at the minimal fined beyond recognition. Then she should have been kicked off the bench. Because I'll tell you right now, that was crap.
And that I do remember that.
That got these little judges thinking, oh, we can do that too. Look, RBG did it. That's where this came from, Doug. Because before that, judges didn't play these kind of games with ex-presidents. It started with that snob.
You know,
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad she's gone. She didn't benefit the United States ever in any way, shape, or form, except killing babies.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think in the history if judges had spoken out, and I'm sure there's times when they did, but not to the extent of RBG.
She green-lighted that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
And nobody addressed it at the time. They were so busy. Yeah. It was during Trump's presidency.
It was. Yes, it was. And
somebody should have stepped on her then.
Yeah, she had given different interviews. And
yes.
Yeah, I remember
shame
that.
Shame on her as a justice for speaking that way while sitting on the bench.
Yeah. And some of these judges have no shame. I mean, you know, we've both been before, we've both been before judges on a prosecutorial basis that, you know, you wonder sometimes what the hell's going on, what's going through the minds of some of these judges. And of course, recently now, we just had four federal appointments by the Biden regime of federal judges that are left of Lenin Okay, so that's not a good thing. We've got to stop that, of course. But
yeah, we've got to root. We need to go through and start cleaning up.
Yeah,
Trump's got his work cut out for him. He needs to surround himself with really good people that absolutely go for the throat.
Yes,
no mamby-pamby stuff for the throat.
Amen to that. Well, okay. Now this brings me to your people, and I know you've got again your people up in Canada, and Ezra Levant was. But you know what? I can't even explain this without getting angry. Imagine being in your house and hearing a commotion just down the street from you. And you go outside, you're a journalist by trade. You go outside and you take your camera because you want to see what this commotion's all about. And here are a bunch of pro-Hamas demonstrators. And let's just say you're Jewish, and let's say these people are in the Jewish neighborhood. And we'll also say there are police that are apparently responded to this commotion. So as a journalist, you go out and you take your camera. You don't engage anybody. You just start filming. Now, Randy Taylor, is that okay to do? I mean, that's normal, right?
Not in Canada.
Apparently not.
No, don't, you can't get in the way of these Palestinian protesters.
Apparently the charter, Section 2B of the Canadian Charter, you know, is not as strong as the First Amendment of the U.S., but then Ezra Levant has got a warning for us because something happened when he did that. Folks, you got to listen to this. This was this weekend, and he has a warning for us here in the States.
I've warned you many times.
As I have to say,
preached it for years. If it's happening in Canada, it's trying to worm its way into the U.S. This is part of the globalist. Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
Had his nose so far up Klaus Schwab's butt with the World Economic Forum that if Klaus Schwab came to a sudden halt, it would have required a team of surgeons to remove Justin Trudeau from his anus. Okay. He was Klaus Schwab the Nazi, okay? Nazi boy's son, who decided in 1971, oh, we'll call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Gee, those of us that looked at it and studied it called it the Fourth Reich.
There you go. Because along with Castro's son, yes.
They are the ones behind the globalists. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as long as the WEF is in operation, the globalists will succeed. It needs to be dismantled, destroyed, and the money taken and redistributed to countries and the leaders that gave it hunted down, indicted, and put in prison. And that's all over the world.
Or because put under people, the prison. Yes.
These people are Nazis. You can call it what you want, but when you put out a shot to try and kill everybody and promote it.
Yep.
And you've got your billionaires buying up farmland,
yep,
doing this and behind stealing Danish farmers' land,
yep,
and taking it and talking about us killing our pets because of CO2 and outlawing beef because of CO2 because cows fart. They want to take away your steak and your hamburger. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have to go after these people. And I hope Donald Trump puts, if Putin wants to impress somebody, drop one of those missiles right on their headquarters. You know
that
what?
That would work.
I would love it if when they were in the middle of their deal that they do in Switzerland, in Davos.
There you go.
That he would drop one of those ballistic puppies in there, our billionaire world globalist problem would be over. And he would be our best friend.
There are some job listings on Craigslist.
Yes.
Craigslist.
Vladimir, sir, if you're listening, give me a call.
Target rich environment.
I'll tell you what, that is an evil organization. That is the devil itself. If those aren't Satan's minions and Satan's angels, I don't know what to tell you. You cannot tell me that they are not in contact with the Antichrist. You cannot tell me that.
No, I 100%.
Because no one could put stuff out like that. And here's the thing. The United Nations are supposed to protect us from evil are right in bed with these son of a guns.
Yes. Yep.
Gotta quit being duped.
The trilateral, if you have membership or any ties to the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, WEF.
You should be looking over your shoulder.
I'm telling you, and payback is coming. But in the meantime, Randy Taylor, this is just for you because you can send this to your family, friends up in up north and have them take a look at this. Charlie Kirk was talking with Ezra Levant today about freedom of the press in Canada. But Ezra Levant turned it back on Charlie and said, hey, guess what? It's coming to America. But watch this. This is a video, unnamed video or unnumbered video. Assault on rights. Eric the Tech, you can grab that. I'm sure you can. Here it is.
Okay, let's go to one of our favorite guests here, who is the center of some very troubling news. Ezra Levant, Canadian journalist at rebelnews.com. That is rebelnews.com. Ezra, welcome to the program. Ezra, take some time and educate our audience on what you went through this last weekend and what is going on in the unfree country of Canada.
Thanks, Charlie. Great to be back on the show. And consider Canada a warning to Americans. If you don't hold tight to your constitutional freedoms, especially your First Amendment, you will go down the path like Canada and the United Kingdom. So consider us a warning from your near future. I live in a fairly Jewish neighborhood in North Toronto, and I saw online that some pro-Hamas extremists came right into this residential neighborhood. Like, there's no political targets here. There's no embassy or anything. They just came to an area with apartment buildings where Jews live. And they recreated the final moments of Yahya Sinwar. That's the now deceased leader of the Hamas terrorist group. So they set up this whole ornate display. It was really gross. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. It would be like someone setting up a Hitler display or, you know, frankly, burning the KKK, burning a cross outside a black church. So I went down there because I'm a journalist. I run Rebel News. And I went in pretty low key. I just wanted to take a photograph of this insane sort of display. And the police came up to me and said, you're not allowed to do that. I said, well, I live here. I'm a citizen. I'm a neighbor. I'm on the public sidewalk. I'm not even talking to these Hamas folks. I'm just taking a photo. And the police sort of strong-armed me away. Now, that bothered me, but you know, I wasn't going to do anything about it. But another cop came up and said, your mere presence here, just by being here, is illegal because it's, quote, causing a disturbance and inciting the crowd. And you can see there's some activists behind the cops there waving Palestinian flags. They weren't criticizing me as a journalist. They were criticizing me as a Jew. They were talking about the Intifada and they were talking about genocide and stuff. And I'm a free speech absolutist, by the way. I mean, I find that sort of gross, but the cops were basically saying, you cannot stand on the street because these Jew haters will be triggered. And I said, well, I'm sorry, they don't have a veto over my civil rights. Well, these cops took the path of least resistance. They knew it was easier to arrest me because I wouldn't riot. So they arrested me, handcuffed me, took me to jail. And they were acting as the concierge for these pro-Hamas extremists right in the middle of a Jewish neighborhood. And what gets me is, since when do they run errands for the terrorists? If they're law enforcement officers, enforce the law. Let me stand on a sidewalk. And if these thugs really are going to hurt me, don't arrest me. Protect me or arrest them. And by the way, a lot of them are foreign nationals who have no legal right to even be in Canada. So that's what happened to me yesterday. I finally did get out of jail. And the And by the way, the police at the jail were quite nice to me. I think they realized this was BS. But this has happened five times in 2024 to one of our other journalists. So this is now a half a dozen times journalists have been arrested simply for doing journalism in Canada. Beware, Americans. We are a warning about your future.
We're going to pause it right there. He does go on, but you get the idea. Randy Taylor doesn't surprise you, right?
I've been saying it on this show since I've been on the show.
Yeah, you have.
You've got to remember, I am a U.S. citizen, okay?
Yep.
And I'm also a permanent resident in Canada. And I know, I think about it all the time. There's one day that there's going to be arrest warrants for me in Canada. I know
you
that.
Could go up there or maybe not make it up there.
I know that. I could get grabbed at the border either way. Seriously, I know that. I understand that. I get that. And I'm like, Ezra, you're going to stick me in jail for something like that. And so be it. You're going to. The problem that we have coming soon is we've got this bill. I think it's 163. I'm not sure. 63. Forgive me for not knowing this right offhand. But they want to make it to where if you say anything online that this commission, not a legal body, a commission can pull you in, try you, not in court of law, but try you and stick you in jail for up to 20 years for previous things I said last year.
That's right.
They're trying to put it to where they can put you in jail for life. They're trying to pass it off as, well, this is to protect children. Nice try.
Is that a Canadian initiative?
Yeah, it's Canadian law they're trying to pass.
All right.
And here's the problem is you've got a little different from the U.S. I'm going to get this to you in a nutshell. Liberals, New Democratic Party, which is another word for liberals, okay? And then conservatives. You have the conservatives have a very strong bearing, in appearance in parliament. However, if it was liberals going after, I'm sorry, if it's conservatives going head to head with liberals alone, we'd crush them. But it's not because the Sikh leader, okay, who supports terrorism, the Sikh leader, Jagmeet Singh, he supports Justin Trudeau. They have what they call a coalition. So those combined votes overrule the conservatives. Justin Trudeau has been in office now going on 9 years, 10 years. Canada has been in a serious decline as far as rights, as far as the economy. This crap carbon tax, that lie, another World Economic Forum way to steal money from your citizens.
That's right.
And we've had, there's cases of billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that cannot be accounted for in Canada. We know that Justin Trudeau is one of, and him and his assistant, Chrystia Freeland, the crack whore, okay, I'm saying that because there's something wrong with her.
I saw a video from her.
You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, what the hell?
Does that not look like somebody on cocaine?
It looks like somebody withdrawing from heavy drugs, yeah.
Something serious, okay?
Yeah.
Either that or she's got Parkinson's and apologize if she does. But anyway, these people have given, the World Economic Forum is worth billions upon billions upon billions. And it's countries that give it to them. Justin Trudeau has given billions that we don't even show on paper anywhere. He's I'm telling you, before Klaus Schwab backed out of the World Economic Forum, Justin Trudeau was his number one student. And unfortunately, being Fidel Castro's son, he absolutely imposed his version of communism on Canada. The guy is a scumbag. He is a slime ball scumbag, and they've got to get him out next year. The problem is we have a little election problem up here, too, because I don't think for one second he won the last election. I do honestly believe. And Harper, I didn't love Harper, he liked the World Economic Forum too. That's the problem. The World Economic Forum has gotten its poison all over the ranks of Canadian politics.
Every just Western like country. I mean, yeah, in,
horrible
in
Canada. East, horrible east. In Canada.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, they lead the way. This is awful. And we're finding out that we have members of our parliament that are sitting on boards of Chinese companies. We've got all kinds of things going on that are absolutely insane. And these people say, oh, we're a democratic society. You're not even that. I love the U.S. for being a republic. But these people claim to be a democracy. They're not even a democracy. Justin Trudeau breaks the law at will. And I don't know what the deal is with the RCMP. I don't understand. He should be in jail. Let me tell you what, how bad it's upset me. I'm trying to find out if a citizen can arrest that son of a gun.
Now the RCMP is equivalent to the FBI.
Yeah, they're the national police over Canada.
Okay.
The Dudley Do-Rights, all right? Now, you go into individual things like Ontario, you've got OPP. Ontario police.
Right.
Provincial police.
Right.
Because provinces have their own police. Some cities, like Toronto, for instance, have a police force. And then you've got like York and different areas, Scarborough, places outside of Toronto. But there's still Toronto police. And then some of them are specifically like York region, Peel region. The problem is in Toronto, you've got a totally left-wing liberal mayor. I can't think of her name. She's an Asian gal, and she's a fruitcake. Okay, so that's where the police are getting these orders from, because the premier of Ontario is a conservative, Rob Ford. He's a conservative, but he's lost control of everything inside this Ontario.
How do you Ontario's lose control? Forgive me, but if he's a if he's in charge, how's Ontario, that happen?
Ontario's a toilet. It's so bad. It is so bad. It is so bad. They don't have enough hospitals to look after the citizens. They don't have housing. They have brought in so many immigrants.
Okay.
Into Canada. I'm stunned by it. I cannot believe what I see. It's nuts. It's crazy. And listen, what they're doing up here, the worst thing you can do is have the government in charge of your health care. That's what the communists want. Control the food supply.
Of course,
we're in trouble up here. You know what, when I tell you Big Mac's up there between $7 and $8, I'm not joking. You think I'm kidding? Go to you Uber and put your location at an address in Toronto. You tell me.
That's ridiculous.
It's nuts. It's crazy.
Well, what you mentioned about Parliament, I'm not sure if I think there's a couple more minutes left of Israel Levant. Maybe he touches on this. I've seen so many videos, but we can
he's a good guy, man.
Rebel News, they've got some cojones, I'll tell you.
They face the storm. They stick their ship right into the storm winds. They go right into it, and I really admire the man. I wish I had tons of money, I'd back him.
Oh, yeah. I would as well, being an American. And I'll tell you what, his warning to America should ring true, even with a Trump presidency, because we're seeing, too, the censorship, despite the fact that Trump is coming in. We're seeing censorship across the board, shadow banning and a lot of bad things. But okay,
Trudeau has to be crushed this next election. And if he wins, we know the election was thrown, because I don't care who you talk to in Canada. You stop somewhere and get gas. They hate his guts.
Oh, his numbers are in the tank.
Yeah,
which I think Levant might address this. So,
all right, let's see that.
Go ahead. If we can pick it up where we left off, go ahead.
So I just Ezra, just re-educate the audience. I guess you don't have a First Amendment at all, nor did you. You had your charter, a Declaration of Rights, but it means absolutely nothing. And just so we are clear, you are doing an act of journalism. Yes, correct? This was an act of journalism?
Yeah, pure and that's right. That's what I do full time. It happened to me in my neighborhood, so it was very quick for me to go over there. The police know us because we have, you know, interacted with many of them before. There was this one moment where I said to one of the senior cops, I said, "You're not the law." He said, "Yes, I am the law." I said, "No, you're a servant of the law." Charlie, we do have a watered down version of your First Amendment. It's Section 2B of our charter, and it specifically protects the free press, and it looks good on paper, but it has never been interpreted as boldly as the American First Amendment. But still, in Canada, what this cop did to me was illegal. It violated my rights. Trouble is, I've got to now go to court, sue the police, and maybe in 2 years' time, I'll have my hearing. In the meantime, like I say, this is the sixth time they've simply snatched our reporters off the street. In this case, it was me. And they interfere with us because by the time justice catches up to them, Charlie, it's 1, 2, 3 years into the future. Believe it or not, one of our reporters was actually shot by a Mountie during the trucker convoy, not with a bullet, but with a riot gun. And she was injured, and the police absolutely targeted her. That was the only shooting in the entire, that was the only act of violence in the entire trucker convoy, was a cop shooting a Rebel News reporter. Which is astonishing. So we're still in court over that. Justice up here is very slow. And in the meantime, the cops do what they want. And unfortunately, they become woke, especially the Mounties and the Toronto Police Service. They're run. I think a lot of the beat cops are pretty good people, and they don't understand this new two-tier policing. They don't understand why they have to be concierges for these pro-Hamas folks. There was actually another pro-Hamas protest in Toronto that they blocked off a road into a residential neighborhood. They blocked it. They stopped Jews from coming and going to their homes. And what did the police do? You're going to find this astonishing, Charlie. They brought coffee and donuts to the Hamas blockade to keep them warm because it was chilly out. The police literally brought coffee and donuts to these pro-Hamas thugs. And I say pro-Hamas because they are. They're reenacting these terrorist moments. They're shouting for death to the Jews. And what gets me is the cop said, because you're upsetting them, your presence here is illegal. I don't live in Gaza.
Okay, we can cut it right there. So, thank you, Eric.
What I was saying about Castro being Trudeau's son.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Trudeau being Castro's son. Eric, put those pictures up when they come in of just side by side and tell me that when Maggie Trudeau was down there with her legs apart in Cuba, that this wasn't a result of that.
The resemblance, yeah.
It's scary.
It really is.
I wish we could do DNA on these two. I don't know how you would even go about doing that, what kind of court order you could get or what. But look at this.
There we go.
Really, look at the eyes. Look at that. That is alarming. He's just like his daddy. His daddy wasn't Pierre Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau was gay.
Right.
That's not a joke. I'm not being funny. That's a known fact, okay? Maggie Trudeau, she slept with the Rolling Stones. Okay? We know she slept with Castro. This kid is not who he says he is. And don't think this stuff can't infiltrate governments. We already know that. Look at Obama, the Manchurian candidate. The more we dug on him, the more we found out.
And
nothing but lies upon lies upon
one
lies.
Minute.
And speaking of that, Randy Taylor, I want to tell the audience, this weekend we put up, or I put up the video that we did on December, I think it was December 29th of 2016, with Mike Zullo and Carl Gallups about the origins of Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro, about the 9 points of forgery on his birth certificate. Please watch it. It's on our Rumble channel. It's on HagmanPI.com. So you're exactly right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love you.